Good morning. My name is Tim Porter. I'm one of the pastors here for Faith Community Church. Welcome to Faith Community Online. It is so good to be together, and I'm so glad that we're gathered together here. If you are meeting with friends in your home, or you are with missional communities, or you're just in your PJs right now, I am praying and hopeful that our time together will be encouraging to you. Here at FCC, we believe that the Bible contains God's word to us right here, right now, in how to live and to know Him. And maybe you just started reading the Bible recently, and so you remember your first times reading the Bible. And if you're reading the Bible for the first time right now, that is awesome. And I just want to recommend that right now, hey, give yourself a virtual high five, okay? Because you started to read the Bible. That's awesome. Now, there might be some of you that are like me, that you have been reading the Bible for a very, very long time, and it's hard to remember the first time that you read the Bible. If you have been reading the Bible for a long time, and if you're with a group of people, just give a nod and say, yep, that's me. I've been reading the Bible for a long time. Okay, good. We've got people who are alive here, too. That's good. My earliest memory, the earliest memory I have of reading the Bible goes way back to like second or third grade. And I remember reading through it in the morning just before going to school and right after eating breakfast. And what I remember most is reading a letter that a church leader named the Apostle Paul wrote to his mentee, his apprentice named Timothy. And these words, I remember reading these words out loud to Timothy, my beloved son. And I remember thinking, wow, he's writing right to me. This is to me. Like, this letter is written right to me, and he likes me. I'm his beloved son. And my mom was kind and quick and gentle to remind me that, no, this isn't written to you, Tim. And she kindly helped me remember that, no, this is written to somebody else named Timothy. Now, side note, some of you might be wondering if I was actually named after the Timothy in the Bible. I just want you to know that I can't even claim that. I was actually named after a turtle. My dad had a turtle when he was young named Timothy, and he loved the name, and he liked that turtle, and so I now have the name Timothy because of a turtle. So that's just a side note, but quite frankly, the longer that I've been reading the Bible, the more that I realize that the Bible is right, that the Bible is written right to me. Right to me, right to you. And though it was written a long time ago, the message of it and the truths of it speak to right here, right now. And especially what Paul wrote to Timothy. We might just share the same name, or we might not even share the same name as Timothy, but we all share the same experiences and the same challenges that Timothy was going through that Paul was writing to him about. Now, a question for you. All locations, I want you to do this, even if it feels a little weird. All locations, I want you to do this. Wherever you are, raise your hand if this is true of you. Sometime during this week, you felt unsettled and you felt fearful. All right. If that's true of you, okay, good. Yep, I have too. There have been times this week when I just couldn't believe what was going on around us. There were times this week when quite frankly, I felt this rush of fear, you know, that kind that comes up here and just sort of takes over your whole body and you feel just flush. There were times this week when I just didn't know what to believe, what's true. I'm getting this information from this source, I'm getting this information from this source. What is true? I felt confused. I've been up late at night at times, just wondering, okay, and praying and thinking through, okay, God, what's the way forward here? What is the way forward? I just can't make sense of what's going on. And I tend to like change. I tend to like change, but the rapid pace of change this week has been hard to just keep up with. Any of you experienced that this week? It's been hard. And it's okay to feel unsettled right now. We're in the midst of things that are unsettling. And so did Timothy, Paul's son in the faith. He felt unsettled at times because of the challenges that were before him. And so Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to encourage him, to remind him about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit comes to us, indwells us, and gives us the power to live when times are unsettling. When times are great and when times are unsettling. Today we're closing out our series called I Know a Ghost, and we chose this term ghost because of an older translation of the Bible that uses the word ghost to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we liked the word ghost because, quite frankly, in some ways, relating to the Holy Spirit is a little bit like a mystery. It's sort of like fantasy in some ways, because we're relating to somebody, and relating to someone that we can't see. He's like the wind. The Spirit is like the wind. He blows and he moves. But you can only see his effects. And we're working really hard in this series. We've been working really hard in this series to make it practical on how to relate to the Holy Spirit. And what's amazing is that the Holy Spirit comes to us, and he comes to us for help in times just like these. So if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Timothy 1:7, or you can use your phones, or we're also going to have it on the screens above. It's just going to be one verse today, 2 Timothy 1:7. We're also going to have it on the screens, like I said, and I'm going to read through this first, and then all locations, no matter where you are, I want you, even if you're by yourself right now, I want you to read it out loud the second time through, and I'll let you know, okay? This is what Paul wrote to Timothy. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Okay, now all locations, read it with me. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I used to think that I was a good gift giver. And I do like giving gifts. It's one of my love languages. I love to give gifts. But my wife is an expert gift giver. I love sitting down with her at Christmas time or before our boys' birthdays and just sorting through what do we want to give our boys for Christmas or for birthdays. And I've sort of become one of those guys who just like, okay, well, let's get them what's on the list, but then let's try to trick them into letting them believe that we actually didn't get it for them. My wife, on the other hand, even if we try to get the things that are on the list, always makes a point to at least give one or two gifts to our boys that are intentional and speak just to them and their hearts. She studies our sons. She knows their hearts, and she wants to give them the exact gift that's right just for them right where they are. And if you have the ability to take notes this morning, I highly recommend writing down a few of these truths, and this is the first truth that I want you to write down this morning. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. Now, notice in this passage how Apostle Paul tells us that God has given us his Spirit. And he says it in a little bit of a strange way where we have to supply a thought in the sentence. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. And then we're supposed to imply and insert a thought. He has given us the Spirit, who is power, love, and self-control. So he has not given us a spirit of fear. You'll see this in the Bible. That's a small S there. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And then we insert. But he has given us the Spirit, who is power, love, and self-control. And we need to just step back for a moment and just marvel at what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Marvel at the story of the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible that we have been talking about in this series. Let me just remind us of a few things. God is God. The true God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is Father, Son, or God is Father. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Three distinct persons, all are God. The Spirit of God was active in creating this world. The Spirit of God is the animating force, the life force behind all living things in our world. He brings life to everything. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament would fill people, or in the Bible, would fill people for specific times and for specific ways to act with boldness and courage and love. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was strengthened by the Holy Spirit to obey God and to love others. No matter what was going on, Jesus was always loving the people around him, even his enemies. Last week, if you remember, Tim Prince taught from some of Jesus' teachings in the Gospel of John, one of the early biographies of Jesus. And this is what we read last week. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you, with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus came. He lived, he died, he rose again. Why? He tells us to give us the Holy Spirit. That God, the Holy Spirit, would live in you and live in me. And after Jesus died and he rose again, Jesus kept his promise to his first followers, and we receive the benefits as well. On a day called Pentecost, Jesus sent his Spirit into his followers, and the world has never been the same since. And now, you and I need to remember this, that when we meet Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus the first time and we begin to follow him, God the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, in me, in us. We belong to God, and God belongs to us. It's hard to wrap our minds around how amazing this is. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what's been done to us, we matter to God so much that he's done everything he needs to do to give us the perfect gift, the gift of himself in us right here, right now. In you, right here, right now. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. You. Forever. Forever. No matter what's changed this week, no matter what's going to change today, no matter what changes this coming week, this does not, cannot, will not change. God has given you his Spirit, and he won't take it back. You have his Spirit with you forever. Now again, if you have a pen and you're taking some notes, I want you to write this one down as well. This is another truth from this passage. The Spirit comes to us. The Spirit comes to us to empower love and self-control. To empower love and self-control. Now, like I said, I think it's quite normal to feel unsettled, and fear is natural for us when challenges come our way. I mean, it's just natural. And there's no shame in feeling timid right now. No shame in feeling unsettled and fearful right now or confused. But the Spirit has not come to us to create fear in us. He's come to empower you and me so that when there are challenges that are unsettling, When all of our plans are shaky, He is with us to lead us and to create in us a power to take the next step. See, the Spirit comes into us and into our lives and into our hearts to speak truth to the fears that are in our hearts, to the fears that are around us, and to remind us that we are never, ever alone, even when there's no one else around us. To remind us that God Himself, the Creator of everything, truly cares personally to every detail of your life, of your life. The Spirit of God has led God's people through pandemics before. He knows what He's doing. The Spirit of God knows how to empower us for times like this, that we can trust Him to empower us right here, right now. I have a good friend who is an overcomer, and he's an entrepreneur, and he just embodies entrepreneurship, and he has, quite frankly, overcome a lot in life, and I joke around with him a little bit, but just a little bit, because he's very serious about this. He says, with every challenge, in every challenge, there's an opportunity, and so when there's conflict around us, and we're in conflict in relationships, he says, this is an opportunity. We have an opportunity to glorify God. If there's a challenge in front of us that's unsettling or scary, for us, he says, hey, this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to trust God. It's been part of our conversation and part of our relationship for so long that my wife bought me a gift. Again, she's a good gift giver. She bought me a gift one day to remind me of everything that this guy is telling me about challenges and opportunities. It's just a little plaque. It was almost like a Christmas ornament. And it had this sign on it, this quote, with every challenge, in the midst of every challenge, there is opportunity. I used to have it on my bathroom mirror because I was seeing the challenges of the day and my body breaking down. And with this challenge, there's an opportunity to grow a beard, right? But anyway, Friday night, as I was praying and my mind was swirling, and I just couldn't shut off my mind and my heart was stirred up, I just started to pray this. Spirit, give me power to see right now, through the challenges, to the opportunities that you're laying in front of us, to follow you, to glorify you, and to love other people. Because the Spirit comes to empower us, Paul says it here, not for fear, but to love. Every day, you and I have opportunities to choose to fear, or we have opportunities to choose to love. And the Spirit has come to empower us so that you and I would be empowered to love other people around us, our families, our friends, our neighbors, to love. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but fear tends to shrink in our circle of interest around ourselves, maybe even those closest to us. But the Spirit empowers us to love the people around us. In one of the most beautiful poems ever written about love, and it wasn't Shakespeare, but he wrote some beautiful poems, the Apostle Paul in another letter wrote this about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. Love doesn't boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never ends. My dad, around in his 30s, late 30s, was diagnosed, or mid-30s, was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Thankfully, they were able to cure him of that cancer, but then because of the radiation that was in this, to deal with the tumors that were in his chest, completely fried his heart. And my dad has a heart valve, and he's got a pacemaker and some other things that are just keeping him alive. My dad has also survived prostate cancer, but his immune system is shot. And it dawned on me this week that this virus that we're trying to contain and mitigate against is lethal for him. And it started to dawn on me that close friends of mine, I could just name off 20 right now very easily, close friends of mine right now are immune compromised, and they're in every stage of development of life, infant, toddler, grade school, middle school, high school, young adult, my age, and then ancient people. All of them in different stages of life. Love means that we go online as a church to keep this disease from spreading, not because we might be afraid of getting it, because we are concerned about passing it on unknowingly to people for whom this could be lethal, because every human being matters to God, and they must matter to us. They must. We want to live proactively and be on the solution side of this challenge. That's what we're trying to do. Not fear, love, hope. Now, love may mean social distancing, but love does not mean relational isolation. Love means that while we are running errands and trying to get the things that we need, we are looking out for other people and we're seeing what's going on around us, and we start thanking everybody who is serving us. On Friday, I was running some errands to just try to get some supplies, and I went into County Market for just a little bit, and I went through the self-checkout lane, and there's always an attendant there at the self-checkout lane to manage, I think, the 8 different places to check out. And she was frazzled, and I just paused after getting my things paid for. I just paused, and I just said, thank you so much to her. Thank you so much for investing your time to help us today. And she said, you know what? I actually was called in for my day off today. And I just said, thank you so much for sacrificing your day off for us so that we could get the things that we need today. And she said, you are welcome. And she said, God's in control, right? I said, amen. Yes, he is. So here I was trying to encourage somebody else, and my heart is just exploding, going, yes, I'm just reminded that God is in control. See, every day, every challenge is an opportunity for us, for everyone who knows Jesus, to grow in love, beautiful, Holy Ghost-empowered love, to be encouraging and also to look to see how we can be encouraged today because God is moving and he's working. Faith community, remember that the Spirit empowers us for a mission of love. Our mission as a church hasn't changed in the midst of everything else that's changing. As I am encountering Jesus during this time and growing right now to trust him and to see him and to relate to him during the day, I want to be honest about who Jesus is and what he's doing around me. I want to be honest to others as I am amazed at what Jesus is doing in my life and as I see him working in others' lives as well, because we desire and we want to do everything that we can. We have to give our whole heart to help everyone meet, know, and follow Jesus. Our mission hasn't changed. As we're afraid and unsettled, we're seeking to love others and care for others, that we can be honest about who Jesus is and invite others to meet him as well. The Spirit comes to us to give us that kind of power. Now, if you're in a missional community meeting right now, I need to remind you that missional communities are built for times such as this. We have an opportunity right now to mobilize our missional communities to help serve our neighbors and friends in ways that we haven't before. And we have missional communities that are active in in all kinds of neighborhoods around the St. Croix Valley. Missional communities are a place to belong and to grow, but they're also a place to serve. And so what I ask you to do, in the name of love, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, missional communities, wherever you live, whatever neighborhood you're in, that you are reaching out and you're paying attention to the vulnerable around you. If you know that there's somebody who's vulnerable to getting this disease around you, I want you to reach out and say, hey, can I go get errands for you? Can I go run and get the groceries for you? I'm going into town. You stay home. I'll take care of you. Remember, there are families. There are families that this shift to being home and doing school at home, it's going to be difficult for a lot of us, and that's going to be a transition for many of us. Reach out and make plans to see how we can help one another during this time. Love compels us to do that. Faith community, you are a wonderfully generous church, and I am so grateful and I'm so proud of you and us and what God has done for us to create in us generosity. Remember that in times of challenge, generosity doesn't change. We seek to give and to help because we've got a mission and we've got a spirit that compels us and empowers us to love. If you're joining with us today online and you're not connected up yet with a missional community that's meeting near you in a neighborhood, please hit the next steps button on our website. We would love to get you connected up. And also, please let us know if there's ways that we can serve you. We want to see what we can do to help, okay? Lastly, the Spirit comes to empower self-control. Now, if you followed me on Facebook for some time or you've known me for a while, you know that this time of year, I love Cadbury mini eggs. I delight in Cadbury mini eggs. Please don't buy me any Cadbury mini eggs. I have given up sugar since January 2nd and I don't want to break it, okay? But I absolutely love Cadbury mini eggs because I just love the way they taste and everything about them is just like it's a gift. It's manna from God, right? It's a manna from heaven. But I have no, quite frankly, I have no self-control at all with Cadbury mini eggs. I started with the mini egg bag, the small bags, and I would eat those, and then the larger bag, and then now they came out with these huge bags, and I could devour those in a day, just sucking on them. My dentist hates it, and it's not good for me. But I love them. I have no self-control at all with them. Now, when we talk about self-control, we tend to think maybe that's what Paul's talking about here, that we just don't have the control to be able to say no. And a lot of the times, the Bible uses a word that talks that way, of self-control is saying no to things that that are harmful to us and saying yes to things that are good to us, good for us. But the word self-control here is a little bit different. It's talking about a little bit something different than an act of the will. It's talking about a clear, calm mind. It's really amazing. This is what the Spirit does. This is the kindness of God. He comes to actually give us a type of sound-mindedness in the midst of challenges where we feel unsettled. The self-control is to act in principled ways, strategic ways, purposeful ways, when things are unsettled, when there's fear, and when there's anxiety. That's what the Spirit comes to create in us. So if you're confused right now, times are confusing. If your heart isn't calm right now, times are unsettling. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit, the Spirit, for power, for love, for self-control. If you're confused, talk to God about your confusion. Talk to God about where you're at and invite the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit, plead with the Holy Spirit, give me calm, give me self-control. Then I can make loving, principled decisions following after your leadership spirit. The Spirit knows what he's doing right now. The Spirit of God knows how to lead us. We can trust him. We can trust him. Now, this series has been about how we can know the Holy Ghost, how we can know the Holy Ghost. And so one of the things we've been emphasizing during this time is praying to the Spirit and talking to the Spirit about where we're at. And so today, this is the action point today for you. Is that I want to give you a prayer to start praying today that's based in this, based from these words from Paul. You can write it down. I'll read through it a couple times. And this is going to just be a prayer just to remind you and to talk to God and remind your heart of why the Spirit has come to us. It's on the screens. Spirit, thank you for coming to be with me. Remove fear and empower me for love and self-control. I trust you. Lead me in my next steps. Lead me in my next step. Spirit, this is the prayer. Spirit, thank you for coming to be with me. Remove fear. Empower me for love and self-control. I trust you. Lead me in my next step. And then watch the Spirit lead. All locations, I'd like you to close your eyes and bow your heads as I pray for us and we get ready to sing one last song together. Father, thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for this series that you have been walking us through. Thank you that right here, right now, you have not left us alone. You've not left us alone. We're not orphans. We belong to you, and you belong to us. You, right here, right now, are living in us, in our hearts. We have a spirit, not of fear, but we have a spirit, the spirit, your spirit in us, for power and love and self-control. Comfort our hearts, empower our hearts. Lead us in our next steps. In Jesus' name, amen.